Craig down, baby.
Back with you now on The Takeaway, I'm Arun Vanigopal. That sense of excitement, even euphoria you're feeling in the air, perhaps it's census time.
The 2020 census is now underway. 2 weeks ago, the Census Bureau counted its first person in rural Alaska. Next month, counting will begin in earnest around our country. The Constitution requires us to count every single person in the United States without exception.
That was Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, chairwoman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, speaking last week at a hearing on the census. And while the countrywide rollout of the census is still on track for a mid-March start date, at the oversight hearing, officials from the Government Accountability Office warned lawmakers that the Census Bureau has missed several key benchmarks in the run-up. According to the GAO, those shortcomings include not hiring enough census workers and failing to partner with an adequate number of community organizations across the country. But it's not just up to the federal government to ensure a complete count in the 2020 census. Across the country, some states have allocated tens of millions of dollars towards census outreach. But others, like Oklahoma, haven't set aside any funding at all.
The census this year came up on a period of time when it was a new governor's administration, and we have a governor who's not familiar with politics in general. He came from the private sector, and a lot of his cabinet secretaries and staffers are also coming from the private sector, and they didn't realize that the census, even though it's a federal issue, does require states to provide support.
That's Joe Dorman, a former Oklahoma state representative and CEO of the Oklahoma Institute for Child Advocacy. Joe and other nonprofit leaders in his state have partnered up in an attempt to make sure Oklahoma does have an accurate count in the next census. And he told me that while Oklahoma lawmakers initially dropped the ball on funding for the census, some state agencies have managed to pick up the slack.
They found money by basically reducing budgets in other areas because of the critical nature of the census. One good example is our Department of Commerce is charged with submitting new addresses to the U.S. Census. In Oklahoma, the State Department of Commerce submitted 340,000 new addresses to the U.S. Census Bureau. Part of that is because Oklahoma really didn't take the census that serious over the last two decades either, so there was plenty of room to grow. But fortunately, the staff that's working on this in the state agency has done the work that was needed. We're still missing the mark compared to other states. When you look at California putting in more than $180 million compared to us piecemealing a project together, it really makes me nervous that we're not going to have the count that we should in our state.
We should mention that you ran for governor as a Democrat in 2014 and lost to Republican Mary Fallon. To what extent has partisanship played a role when it comes to securing census resources in Oklahoma?
Fortunately, when it comes to talking to lawmakers, it impacts them directly. The fewer people counted in their area, that means their districts grow in size. And that means more mileage they have to cover to get that count because every legislative district in the state is based upon population. So it's been an easy sell. Our state Senate formed a complete count committee. The pro tem of the Senate, who's a Republican, and the Democratic leader joined together to do a complete count committee to make sure that senators understood the need for this. We're working to try and do similar things in the state house. And fortunately, the state agencies have taken it very serious. I referenced Governor Stitt earlier. One of the things his administration has done is created an ambassador program within each state agency that serves the population to make sure that each agency is aware of what's going on with the census and will help spread information to the clients that they serve and the individuals that receive services to understand the importance of filling out the census paperwork this year.
And an undercount ultimately will hurt the state regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican, correct?
That is correct. The estimates we hear are about $1,700 to $1,800 per person per year if someone's not counted. And the reason OICA is so involved in this is the 0 to 5 age group is the hardest to count because a single parent with two or three kids, if they don't fill out the paperwork, their kids are missed. And it's not just for that 1 year. It's for a 10-year period. So we lose out on those federal dollars.
So that's one group you mentioned, young children who are at risk of being undercounted. What other groups are we talking about?
Every minority falls into a hard-to-count area, generally because of the lack of resources going to those communities, because generally minority populations live in impoverished areas at a greater rate. And so trying to combat that poverty that impacts so many individual Oklahomans and Americans. We're trying to get this information out to them, get the assistance to them. You also have a rural population, especially in Oklahoma, with so many tribal members living in the rural areas. We're doing our best to partner with the 39 sovereign nations that are headquartered in Oklahoma. One good example, the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma lost out on more than $1 million in a grant, which they sought because they didn't have an accurate count. Changes that happened with the census this year will allow individual tribal members to be able to list their individual nation rather than just simply a Native American and Alaskan Indian.
We know that in the run-up to the census, this census in particular, trust is a serious issue in getting people from certain communities to fill out the census. How are you addressing those concerns in Oklahoma?
Working with individuals that are familiar in each community. We want to have familiar faces talking to individuals and conveying that information because that will develop that sense of trust. One example, we sat down with about 40 different partner organizations that work through the Homeless Alliance in Oklahoma, sharing that information with each of the organizations to in turn take it back to their staffers in hopes that their staff will share that information with the homeless population that's served. So if an individual is familiar with someone, that message coming from them is going to have a much greater level of trust.
So what do you think? Will there be an accurate count in Oklahoma for the 2020 census?
If we have any say in this, we're going to make sure that the word is spread as far and wide as possible. If you look at the hard-to-count map that's put together on one of the census websites, far northwestern Oklahoma and far southeastern Oklahoma are much of the problem area. In far northwestern area, we have Latino workers on farms and in different factories. In southeastern Oklahoma, that's heavily populated by tribal citizens. And one of the issues we have down there is it's hard for standard statewide media to reach those areas because they simply don't receive any of the network news out of the Oklahoma City area. So we're trying to get creative and spread it through non-traditional methods, through social media, through billboards, newspaper advertisements, the ways to reach those individuals. I feel confident between the public and private partnerships we're seeing in Oklahoma, we're going to do much better than we've done the last two rounds. And I feel good about the census effort in Oklahoma, even without the dollars that we're missing out from the state government.
Joe Dorman is the CEO of the Oklahoma Institute for Child Advocacy. Across the country, community leaders like Joe are doing outreach to make sure that people in their areas not only understand the importance of filling out the census, but also trust that they can safely hand over their personal information to the government. And with the full census rollout approaching, we want to know whether you're planning to fill out the 2020 census when it reaches your home.
My name's Tom. I'm calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm not particularly interested in filling out the census form in that paranoia has come about because of the present activities of our president, among other things. I probably will, but at the moment I'm really torn.
Unlike Tom, most of you said definitively that you will fill out the census, but many of you echoed his concerns about how the Trump administration has handled the process.
Rich from Gilroy, California. Yes, I plan on filling out the census. I would rather do it on paper than through the internet. I don't trust the current government to play by the same rules as the rest of us Americans.
Hey, this is Tara Webster. I'm calling from St. Albans, Vermont. Yeah, I'm totally planning on completing the census. It's important for many issues. It shouldn't be a controversial topic, and making it such is yet another way the current administration has damaged the U.S.
Hi, this is Doug from Portland, Oregon. I do plan on filling out the census, but I do feel it's a shame that it is so politicized right now.
Others of you told us how your personal experiences have shaped your understanding of the census.
This is David from Portland. Yes, I feel the census is a very important tool for public well-being. I'm worried about what is asked and how. I took survey analysis classes in college, and I know that how you ask the question changes the answer, as polls show us all the time. If the questions this time are different than in previous censuses, I am concerned about why they were changed and who directed it. There are people in our government who underestimate the intelligence, discernment, and knowledge of our people. We know when we're being gamed.
My name is Catherine Sherman. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I believe in the census. As someone with family members with undocumented status and who are DACA recipients, I planned to boycott because the proposal to include the citizenship question was so troubling to me. Now that the question is not on the census, I have not only gotten a job as a bilingual census taker, I will also encourage everyone I know to participate because representation is important.
Hello, this is Elaine Wells from Omaha, Nebraska. I will definitely fill out my census form because it's important for the government to know who's where and how to appropriate money. But the most important thing about my answer is I worked as a census worker going door to door to get information from people who had not filled out their forms. And it was such a pain. I mean, it cost the government a lot of money to send out extra people to retrieve this information. So everyone should definitely fill in their forms as soon as possible and turn them back in. Thank you.
We want to keep hearing from you as the census approaches. Keep calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also send us a tweet. We're at The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.